This is Digital Dave.
I'm Fast Eddie.
And we have one of our favorite guests, Steve McCaughey, Seaplane Pilots Association.
Yeah, go out and get wet.
It's better when it's wet, yes. Wow.
Well, it's great to be back. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, we always love having you around. You keep bringing us things.
Got one gripe, though. What do you mean sold out for this corn roast?
Always sold out now.
I know.
2 months in advance. But you guys have special access, so don't worry.
I told you.
I'll take care of you.
Thanks.
Appreciate that, Steve.
Yeah, we'll take anything we can get.
At this point, we're groveling for anything.
You know, I read that they're retiring the last Martin Mars.
It's gone. It's in the museum, Pima Museum.
That's kind of a shame.
And heartbreaking. I was supposed to fly it when it was here, and Harrison Ford knocked me out of the co-pilot
seat.
Well,
okay.
Wow.
Thanks, Harrison.
Yeah, thanks, Harrison. He's probably listening, too.
Yeah, so. Right.
So now you hate Star Wars, Indiana Jones.
I'm not going to hold it against
him. And 6 days, seven nights.
Yeah, there you go.
Never seen a beaver fly vertical like that before.
One of our members actually owns that airplane.
Really?
Yeah, really?
He took the airplane and restored it after the movie.
Because they kind of wrecked it, as I recall.
Yeah, they kind of wrecked it after the movie.
Ouch. Anyway, tell us about what's hot in seaplane land.
Oh, just got it. You know, everything. You know, the biggest thing is I want to encourage anyone that's listening to this, if you're not a seaplane pilot, you need to go out there and get the rating. Number one, there's 80 flight schools across the country that you can do your seaplane rating. It's a 3 to 4 day rating in most cases. It's very inexpensive. In most cases, you can get it for $3,500 or less. It's going to make you a better pilot because you're going to reconnect with your stick and rudder skills if you're flying a glass cockpit or you're not flying proficiently. You're going to get used to flying low and slow. It's really going to develop those skills. It's one of the few ratings you can get without a written test. There is a practical and an oral, so it's super easy to get the rating. The Seaplane Pilots Association lists every school in the country, tells you what they fly, where they are, what their program looks like, and how much it costs.
Well, there you go. How many seaplane bases are there that are active?
Well, there's 80 flight schools doing training.
Flight schools.
You know, we don't actually measure how many seaplane bases there are because most of the places we go aren't seaplane bases. It's just a remote lake.
Okay.
So we don't need a seaplane base to land.
Nice. Nice.
I'm in.
Hey, I will tell you that I have a hat from Essington Seaplane Base in
Philadelphia. Yes, you do, in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was down there doing something else, and they were having a little fly-in, and I'm like, oh, I got to go check this out.
It's a great historic, one of the oldest seaplane bases in the world that they're very proud of, and it's probably on your hat.
Yeah, and you won't find it if you don't know where to look.
No.
Well, you know, one of our good friends, John Martin, who runs New Garden Airport out in our area, he was asking, after Monday's heavy rains, if he could find floats for his twin beach.
He kind of got flooded out.
Yeah, the field was a little soupy.
Just a little.
Yeah, just perfect for glass water, right?
There you go. Actually, in San Francisco, or Sausalito, on the north side of San Francisco Bay, Adventure Seaplanes operates, and they do flight touring with beavers. And if you have not flown a seaplane over the Golden Gate Bridge, you haven't...
That's got to be something.
Yeah, you haven't lived. But they actually, at low tide, they're flying off of mud flats, and so they have these, like, 40-inch deep depressions in the mud and tracks, and they actually taxi and start their takeoff run through these 40-inch depressions in the mud. And if you get out of them, if you jump the tracks, you have to wait till high tide.
Oh, man. Oh.
So you can land and take off on mud. So
wow. That's probably not covered in the book.
We're insurance.
Makes a mess of the airplane, though.
It actually just provides a little bit of a lubricated surface. And there's no rocks or anything because they've been doing it for 60 years in the mud. So these tracks are like 60 years old in
That's
the mud.
Really something. Now
I'm
we're
going
to have to go on Google Earth and see if we can get a picture of that.
I'm sorry, Steve, but I never thought of mud as a lubricant.
Yeah. Well, you know, desperate times.
Yeah, true.
You do what you got to do.
Let me ask you, this question may be a little out of your purview.
Uh-oh.
There was an airplane called the Gooey Duck.
Yes. I saw the owners yesterday.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Are they kidding it? Are they still building it?
Have you been able to ask me a question that was out of my wheel?
That's true. Not yet.
We're working on it, though.
So I have flown the Gooey Duck in off of Lake Hood in Alaska. And a great airplane. They're working on number 2 and 3 right now. They have customers for the second and third one. But yeah, I'm very familiar with the Gooey Duck.
It's supposed to be all the best things and none of the worst.
Yeah,
none
they
of the
took,
corrosion.
It's about positioned halfway between a Grumman Widgeon and a Grumman Goose. And except it's all composite and has modern engines and everything. And great airplane. I think it has a lot of potential. I wish they would certify it. Right now, they don't have any plans to certify it. But I wish they would certify it because that would really open a huge market for the airplane.
Right. And there aren't too many amphibs being built.
That are going to be not a flying boat of that size.
Right, right.
There's actually quite a few in Europe that are being developed right now. We did a big conference down in Miami in January, and we have a company in Norway working on a new flying boat. It'll start out as PT-6 powered, similar to a Grumman Mallard, but then they will convert it to electric is their plan. And then we have another company in Switzerland on Lake Constance developing a 10 electric motor flying boat.
Wow.
For commercial service.
Interesting.
Yeah.
As a seaplane pilot looking to do that for a career, you're going to end up doing what? Mostly bush work, that kind of thing?
Well, you know, Alaska, obviously. I think everyone that aspires to be a seaplane pilot from a commercial aspect probably has some inklings of wanting to go to the holy land of seaplanes, Alaska. So we have a lot of operations up there, but you have the Maldives. We're working in Malaysia right now. We just took 35 pilots in October to Lake Como, Italy, to fly seaplanes. And I just got back from Biscarrosse, France. I had a big splash in France.
Wow.
We had 50,000 people at a seaplane event there.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and they used to fly in the 1930s and post-World War II. They had the Lat Corée 631. It was a 188-foot wingspan flying boat. It actually dwarfed the Boeing 314.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool
Bigger
stuff.
Bigger than a Pan Am Clipper.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah, pretty cool. And the town actually has its own seaplane museum that they finance. The town owns and finances. They have a Grumman Albatross and a Grumman Widgeon and a CB and all kinds of stuff there. It was great.
All right, wait a minute now. Grumman Albatross, short wing or long wing?
Oh, look at you. You're leveraging your seaplane knowledge here.
Yes, yeah.
And that's about all I know.
He stayed at the Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
So I like the long wings. They perform better. This one was a short wing.
A little faster, just harder to get off the water.
He's razzing me because of my seaplane knowledge, but yet he knows which one's in the museum.
Well, yeah.
Well, there's only about 200 of us in the world that are type rated in the Albatross, and so I'll leverage that one a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. How many types have you flown?
75 different seaplanes.
Holy goodness. Macro.
Something like that.
I always liked the look of a coot. I always thought that was a nice little home built.
Yeah, see, and then look at you. You're showing your age now.
Yes, I am.
You see that? And Harrison Ford kept you from 76.
Yeah. I think they only built, what, 6 Martin Mars were built?
They built, actually, they had a base, Alameda Naval Air Station, again, in Oakland, California, was set up to accept squadrons of them, and I think they built 6 or 7. And then, you know, historically, we had 3 flying, and then down to 2 flying. And the 2, the Philippine and the Hawaii Mars, are the ones that were just retired, one
right
in Vancouver and then one in Arizona at the Pima Museum.
I have to go back to Pima.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So I was actually with the pilot that did
the
last flight.
It makes sense that you'd take a flying boat and put it in the desert.
Yeah, there doesn't that make sense? I mean, come on.
Well, at least you don't have to worry about corrosion. But sandblasting is another question.
Good stuff. So, you know, we have 25 seaplanes down at the base yesterday. We're going to have a seaplane flyby around 2:30 on Friday. I'll be on the announcer stand announcing the parade of seaplanes that will be coming down the flight line. So if you have any interest in seeing seaplanes while you're here at AirVenture, go down to the seaplane base. Come to Hangar C, booth 3000, 3001, and you can come visit the Seaplane Pilots Association. But you'll see a dozen airplanes or so on Friday flying by down the flight line, and you'll hear my voice telling you all about them.
Tell you, yep, he knows them intimately.
I was going to bring my earplugs just because of that.
Oh, nice.
Wow, I feel so at home.
You're not going to the corn roast now.
No, I'll be the corn roast.
Good stuff.
How many... Well, you said you had, 75 seaplanes, did I hear, or 25?
25 down at the base. We have a bunch more here on the field this year.
You know, you hooked me up a couple years ago with a flight in a Husky, and that was so cool. But the one thing I wasn't prepared for is how much you get beat up on the takeoff. On the water was slightly choppy. Oh, my goodness.
Water's like concrete. It's like going across concrete speed bumps.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
People underestimate how how hard that is on the airframe and everything in the engine.
Right.
The airplane really takes a lot of shock. There's no shock absorbers.
Exactly. No, takes a beating. And but the cool thing was when we were coming back, he's like, let me show you how I like to fly this thing. And nice good clip at a slightly low altitude across the water. It was great.
I flew all the way down the Mississippi River and never went above 100 feet from the headwaters all the way to the Gulf of Mexico.
Wow.
That must have been bridges. Cool.
Yeah, they don't like it when you go under them.
No.
There's not a lot of room sometimes.
He spends what he's flying. Did you ever see the story about the PBY over in the Middle East that was abandoned?
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It's still there.
Yeah.
So we had a family that owned a personal PBY that was kind of a flying boat
motorhome.
And they were flying around the world adventuring. And they actually had an engine problem and then got pirates involved. And the airplane is still sitting on the beach today. It's like 50 years later.
Yeah, look it up on Google Earth. You'll see pictures of it.
What's left of it,
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, sir, for joining us. It's always a blast to have you.
And, Steve, where are you again?
We're over in Hangar C, 3000, 3001. We have the back wall of Hangar C.
You ought to go over there, everybody, because they have the coolest T-shirts.
Yes. And seaplanes are cool.
Yes.
This year's shirt is the Naughty, as in nautical, Naughty Otter. So,
boy, say that to 10 times fast. All right, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.